And welcome to the Vine Grove Baptist Church. We're glad that you are with us to worship in spirit and truth this morning. You can also join us on our website at vgbc.net, also on social media at Facebook, YouTube, and at Twitter. And as we start our Mother's Day worship service, here's Brother Joey Chipwood.
Good morning. Welcome this morning to Vine Grove Baptist Church. It is May 10th, 2020. Mother's Day. Glad you all could join us, whether it's by audio or video. Welcome. Like I said, it is Mother's Day, and we want to send a special thank you out there to all you mothers. We are very glad that you took the time to join us today. And I have a special Mother's Day prayer, if you would bow your head with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for my mother, for her love, her advice, and her brilliant smile. You called her home a long time ago, and I pray that I can show her patience, her wisdom with my own children. And I long for the day when we will once again be together standing before you in glory. I thank you for all these things in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Randy?
Good morning. I'll be doing a reading this morning. This is from the Word of the Lord from Psalm 33. The Lord's plan stands firm forever. His thoughts stand firm in every generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed are the people he has chosen as his own. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all of Adam's descendants. From the place where he sits enthroned, from the place where he sits enthroned, he looks down upon all who live on this earth. The one who formed their hearts understands everything they do. The Lord's eyes are on those who fear him, on those who wait with hope for his mercy to rescue their souls from death and keep them alive during a famine. We wait for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts find joy. In his holy name we trust. Let your mercy rest on us, O Lord, since we wait with hope for you.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the safe Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, I proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, it's sweet to trust in Jesus, just from himself to cease. Just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her."
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share, sound of his voice, how sweet the birds are singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, another has ever known. I stay in the garden with him.
Come to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and I hope that you do worship him in your spirit and in truth, because Jesus says those are the types of worshipers that the Father is seeking. I do not have a lot of announcements today, but I do want to tell you that Brother Larry had surgery Tuesday, and he came through the surgery with flying colors. Everything was fine. They removed his kidney. I don't know if they've got back the pathology report or not. But I do want you to pray for Brother Larry for a quick recovery as well as just the pain and all of the other stuff that goes along with it. Brother, we're looking forward to the day you come back with us. It feels a little empty without you here, without your personality. And we are definitely excited that God is doing a great work in you. And I know that he's healing you just like he wants you to be healed. Happy Mother's Day. Joey's already mentioned that today, May the 10th, is Mother's Day. Wendy and Paula are both moms, and I'm sure we have lots of mothers that is listening out there. Let me just tell you, moms, what you do for your children cannot be in any kind of worth, in any kind of value, other than the value that God places on the kids that he gives you, which is inestimable. There is no way that you can do anything for a child too much. And I know that both of you and all you moms out there that are listening today, I just want to wish you a happy Mother's Day. Love you, and so appreciative of being good mothers. Again, we're talking to you with just a few people in the church today because of the COVID virus that we are dealing with. We do have a tentative reopening date right now for the church on May 31st. For those of you that keep up with these types of things, the actual date, I think, is May 20th for the state of Kentucky, but we're waiting for the 31st. Here's one of the things that I do know, that if and when we do reopen, we will reopen. But whenever that is, it will be a great day to see all of your faces. I'm looking at pictures on the pews right now, and your spirit just jumps out at me as I look at you. But it's nothing like you sitting here worshiping with us together. We have several prayer requests today. I want you to lift up Norm and Patricia McCoy. They're still recovering and ongoing healing for them. And we just give you a shout-out, Norm and Patricia. We just love you, and we pray for you every day for that recovery that God has given you. And we also lift up Lovell Cottrell today. Lovell, I know that you've been on the mend for a few weeks now. And I love you, Lovell. We miss you. I miss seeing you, and I know that you desire to be here. Kathy Stutler, we lift you up. And we know that you've got some things going on health-wise. Larry, you take good care of her, and I know that you do. We lift both of you all up. And my mother and father, Claude and Marion Kidder, lift up my dad. He is recovering from kidney failure. His last report actually was encouraging. It was better. His kidney function was improved. So God is still working, and he is still mending individuals, mending lives. Danny Griffith, Brother Larry told me to give you a shout-out today. I know that you're listening, and even though the Brother Larry's not here, I'm here to tell you he misses you, and he can't wait to see you back in church. All these individuals we have, Wendy, your sister Elaine, pray for you all as you take care of your parents. I'm sure there's many other situations in our lives. God, he deals with us on a personal basis. He deals with us individually. And so as we pray today, I want you to recognize that it's not just the prayer to gloss over all the things that I've just mentioned. It is a prayer for individual things in your life, individual things that you desire God to look into and to do for you. If you don't ask, you will never get it. The Bible is really clear about that. So ask God. There's nothing impossible for him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that we're able to gather once again and to give you glory and praise in your house. And Father, we thank you that we're able to reach so many people by way of radio, by way of the internet, Father. And Lord, we just lift all of these individuals that we've mentioned by name, and we lift our church, our congregation to you, Father, all the individuals that are make up Vine Grove Baptist Church. I lift them to you today, Father, and I ask healing for those who need healing. I ask, Father, for your continued providence over the lives of all of us. And, Lord, as we seek your will in our lives and seek your face in our hearts and in our daily living, Father, we ask that you speak to us, speak to our hearts, Father, so that we know that we are loved. And we know that we are, but we desire to hear you. Father, as we continue the service today, I pray for that people would be touched by not just the music, but also the message that you've given me. And Lord, just ask, Father, that you help me to proclaim your word exactly what you want people to hear today. All these things I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
King Hezekiah rested in the warm sunshine. He saw Isaiah coming with a burden on his mind. Oh, Hezekiah trembled at the prophet's word. Set your house in order for the coming of the Lord.
You better set your house in order for the coming of the Lord. Get ready, cause it's time to go to your reward. It's Jehovah's message in the prophet's word.
Set your house in order
for the coming of the Lord. Now, brother, you've been living mighty high and fine. But like old Hezekiah, you're on borrowed time. Pick up that holy Bible, let your soul be stirred.
Set your house in order
for the coming of the Lord. You better set your house in order for the coming of the Lord. Get ready, cause it's time to go to your reward. Here's Jehovah's message in the prophet's word.
Set your house in order
for the coming of the Lord.
Yeah, the judgment day is coming, we will all be there.
You still got time
to make atonement and your soul prepared.
There won't be no second guessing when it has occurred.
Set your house in order for the coming of the Lord.
You better
set your house in order for the coming of the Lord. Get ready, cause it's time to go to your reward. Here's Jehovah's message in the prophet's word.
Set your house in order.
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 For the coming of the Lord.
I've got a lot of papers up here, and I'm looking at them like, what am I doing next? Again, it is good to be with you today. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. I hope that you do allow God to touch your heart today. God has given me a message that he wants me to bring to you, and it is cast your cares on God who is able. He wants you to cast all your cares on him because he is the only one who is able. Able for what? Able to take care of you. You know, so often here in the United States, here in the state of Kentucky, here in Vine Grove Baptist Church, we're all very independent-minded individuals. And we all want to do things our way because we think, well, I was raised pretty good. I'm pretty smart. I want to do it my way. But we find out pretty quickly, if you think about it, that our ways tend to fall apart. It always does. Never changes. It always tends to fall apart. And then what happens? Oh, God, help me. Save me, Lord. What we need to be doing is we need to be saying, Lord, whatever you want in my life, however you want me to live it, that's what I'm going to do. And the only way you can do that is to live with passion every day. So my very first point today to you is spread the message of Jesus Christ with passion and conviction. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, what does that mean? Well, let's make it kind of easy first of all. How do you lay up treasures on the earth? How do you lay up treasures in your house? You go to Walmart. You get online and go to Amazon.com. You may go to eBay. You go to these different places. You go to the car lot. You go to here. You go to there. And you buy, and you have treasures in your home. Now, some of these treasures are little doodads that you got to constantly, dust. I got doodads all over my house. I am not the housekeeper that my mother is, so I don't ever invite her to come to my house. And, Mom, I know you're listening, and you're very gracious when you do come to my house, but I'm sure you look around like, well, Randy, you need some work, son. You need some work. But see, I'm laying up these treasures in my house. I've got these little glass things. My mother gives me little glass things. Paula has given me little glass things. I've bought little glass things. All right, so that doesn't do me any good because I got to dust these little glass things at least once a week. I've got animals in the house. I've got pets. I've got two dogs, two cats. And what happens? There's dust and there's hair everywhere. My car, I got to wash it and wax it, make it look nice. I haven't done that in months. Hey, Webster. But, you know, God wants us to spread the message of Jesus Christ with passion and conviction. Lay up treasures in heaven. Now, how do I lay up treasures in heaven? Told you how you lay up treasures here on earth. You lay up treasures in heaven by engaging in actions that are God actions. You lay up treasures in heaven by giving to people of yourself. And mainly it's love. That's what you do. Everything should be based on love. My text today on all of the scriptures that you're going to see is from Matthew, and it's a Sermon on the Mount, but I'm just going to kind of pick and choose where I want to talk about in the Sermon on the Mount. And this lay up treasures in heaven is found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. And I'm going to actually read 19 through 21, and then I'm going to read verse 24. Jesus says this, "Do not lay up yourselves treasures on earth." Hey, Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Now here's the kicker. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now, let me just kind of, I guarantee you, for most people, whenever they say serve money, well, I don't serve money. How about serve the world? How about serve yourself? You cannot serve yourself and God. You have to choose, do I serve God and Him alone, or do I serve myself and myself alone, and I'll give God lip service? Christian, this is a time that you need to buckle down. You've had a lot of time to think. Now, I wonder how many of us are actually taking time with God daily, not a one-off, daily time with God and saying, Lord, I want to get closer to you. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear you speak to my heart, and I want you to guide my life. I know that it's hard because it's hard for me, and I'm sure it's hard for others. But God is very jealous of us, of our affections for Him. And this spreading the message of Jesus Christ with passion and conviction to lay up your treasures in heaven, once you begin to say, I'm not going to lay up any more treasures on the earth, I'm not going to be worried about getting stuff that's going to rust, getting stuff that has to be dusted, getting stuff that I'm putting my affection on, that's just things, although it can be people. I'm going to start putting my affection, my trust, my treasure in the Lord. What you will begin to desire to do that, first of all, you'll find it's hard. Because you like buying stuff. You like getting stuff. You like having stuff. But stuff is not where it's at with the Lord. It is love, love, love. That's where it's at. That's where God, He dwells in this idea. God is love. And so, how do you spread this message with passion and conviction? How many of y'all out here today have passion and conviction on anything? Raise your hand. If you got passion and conviction on something, go ahead, raise your hand. Okay. 3, 4, 5, 6. I don't know, David was late to the table. I think he was kind of just wanting to be part of the group. Let me tell you about passion and conviction. This is something a lot of y'all can relate to. We, here in the state of Kentucky, we love sports, but we particularly love basketball. Whether you're a Louisville fan or a University of Kentucky fan, it doesn't really matter. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I have a nephew who loves the University of Kentucky basketball. He likes their football, but let's face it, basketball's where it's at. And he has a wife that is even more passionate about the University of Kentucky basketball than he is. How do I know that? Because she goes to these far-off places like Las Vegas or Minneapolis or wherever it may be to see her team play in these tournaments that they're playing in during the season. Not only that, but my nephew and his wife also, they can tell you things about these players as if they've known them for a long time personally. So they've checked up on these players. They've checked up on how they play, what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are. They tell people whenever you engage them in conversation, let's talk about University of Kentucky basketball. They get animated. They begin to tell you about, oh, let's talk about this season. Let's talk about this player. And then once the season starts, well, this player, they need to do this. They need to do that to help their game. They're passionate, and they have great conviction about University of Kentucky basketball. Now, if I told you today, or I ask you today, do you have that type of passion and conviction about the Lord? Could you honestly, and I don't want to see raised hands or I don't want to see anything, I want you to think seriously in your heart, can you honestly say in your heart, yes, I have that passion and that conviction that whenever I get around people, I want to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. And I get all animated and I get all excited. And I know so many things to tell people about Jesus, about His Father in heaven, about the Holy Spirit. Do you feel that all the time? Now, you can work it up. All of us as Christians have worked it up. But passion and conviction follows you day in and day out, no matter what. That is where you need to start. That's what Jesus is talking about. The things of the earth are temporary, and they don't really help you any. You know, they're pretty doodads. I have a nice car. I have a nice this. I have a nice that. I have a, you know, a lake house. Whatever. But those things are going to all pass away. They may give you some momentary pleasure, but they will not do anything for you personally in your heart, in your soul. They will not do anything for you. However, once you begin to just simply say, Lord, and this is where repentance starts. Lord, I know that I am not passionate. I know that I don't have the conviction all the time to tell people that it with joy in my heart how you saved me from sin, death, and hell. How you love me every day. How you pulled me out of the miry clay over and over and over. And Lord, tell people, even though that I keep messing up, that I get lackadaisical, that I get lazy, that I get, I don't know, just kind of, it just goes away, this passion. That you still give me grace and you still give me love and you still show me mercy over and over and over again. That's where it begins in our hearts. And it can only begin right now today if you're not engaged in God in that way. So, once you begin to talk to God on that level, what's going to happen is this. You're going to actually hear God speak to your heart in a way that you've not really heard maybe in a long time if you're a long time Christian, or maybe you've never heard it. I've talked to so many Christians that say, you know, I've never heard the Lord speak to me personally. And I'm like, how can you never have heard the Lord speak to you personally if you call yourself a Christian? He has spoken to you, to your heart, for you to be convicted of sin and want to be saved and to put your faith and trust in his son, Jesus. How can you say, I've never heard him? But I understand what they're saying. What they're saying is this. I don't have a conversation where I'm speaking and he listens, then he speaks and I listen. I can't tell you how many Christians that I have had that conversation with. But the thing about that is this. Once you begin to say, Lord, I am yours and yours wholly, wholly yours, and you truly dedicate your life and your heart to him, then you will begin to hear him speak to you just the same way as I'm speaking to you right now. A lot of older folk have told me, I've never heard that. I've never heard that. And they wish they could. God says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Calm your mind from everything else. You know, with this COVID virus, you should have plenty of time to calm your mind. You should have plenty of time to calm your spirit. You should have plenty of time on your hands to engage God in a way that is meaningful, that begins this journey or kickstarts your journey with him. You heard earlier that Tula read about Mary and Martha and the encounter that they had with Jesus. Jesus was coming to Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house. And, you know, being a good steward of the house, Martha, which I'm guessing is probably the older of the two, Martha takes control and says, okay, we got to get, you know, the house in order. We've got to get the food prepared. We've got to make sure that everybody has their things that they need to have so that when they get here, everybody is going to have a great time. You ever entertain like that? And you know the kind of stress that causes? Oh, I know. But the thing is, Jesus, when Martha came and said, care that Mary, she's just listening to what you're saying. She needs to come help me in the kitchen. She needs to come help me to serve. She needs to come help me. Have you ever been there, moms? Have you ever been where you're trying to get things perfect for people? You want the food to be good. You want the atmosphere to be great. And yet you're getting all frustrated because no one seems to help you. It's all on you. Well, that's how Martha was. And in being that way, Jesus looked her straight in the eye and he said, Martha, you're anxious about a lot of things. You're anxious about a lot of things. But Mary has chosen the best thing. And it will not be taken from her. Think about this for a second, folks. Jesus, the Son of God, God incarnate, says to this woman who is preparing the food, who is getting everything ready, who is doing her best to be a good hostess. And he says, you're concerned and you're anxious about a lot of things, but Mary, your sister, she's sitting here at my feet listening to my words, and this is the best thing to do. Do you sit at the feet of Christ? Do you sit at the feet of the Lord? Do you sit and listen to what he has to say? Or are you anxious about many, many things? You see, it all comes down to what's important in our lives. What is important in our lives? Got notes here I need to look at somewhere. Here they are. What is life? Have you ever asked yourself that? Have you ever asked yourself this question? Is this all there is in life? Is this all there is? Is this it? Is what I'm doing day in, day out, is this it? If you ask yourself that question, I have good news for you. The answer is no, that's not at all what it's all about. And it's so much better and so much more than you could possibly imagine. And Jesus summarizes it this way. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. That sounds cryptic, doesn't it? What does that mean? Seek the kingdom of God. Well, when you seek the kingdoms of the world, you're seeking possibly in where you work. I want to be the head honcho. I want to be the boss someday. Or I want to be an expert in my field. I want to be this person that other people look up to. Or maybe you're a little bit more Machiavellian and you desire power. You desire to manipulate people to do the things that you want them to do and to be the people that you want them to be. That is seeking the kingdoms of the world. To seek the kingdom of God is to seek God himself. To seek God himself. That is the be-all and end-all in to seek the kingdom of God. In seeking God, what you find is the righteousness of who he is. What do I mean by the righteousness of who he is? I mean simply this, that you will find that God's ways are totally right. Everything that he says, everything that he does is totally right. It's not wrong. It's totally right. And so whenever you seek God's kingdom, you seek after his righteousness, you seek after his holiness, you seek after his will. You know, Jesus made a statement at the Last Supper. He tells his disciples, I've never told you this before, boys, but here's the way it is. Ask the Father in my name whatever, and I will do it. That's a bold statement, and we still boggle at it today. And yet Jesus was extremely serious always as he spoke, but especially that night to his disciples. He wanted them to understand that to ask in Jesus' name was to, number one, be given authority to ask in that name, to have that authority. But number two, to know that what they asked for would be done. How can you ask for something and know that it will be done? Because you ask in the will of God. How do you know what the will of God is? The only way that you can know what the will of God is, number one, if you want to just have a good understanding, is you have to read the Bible. Without reading the Bible, you cannot know what the will of God is. Perhaps more importantly, though, is everything that you do should be based on love for others. Not love for yourself, love for others. Because this is the greatest thing that we can do, is to love one another as Jesus has loved us. Because love covers a multitude of sins. And love is God God is love. So that whenever I ask, knowing that I'm asking in love for someone else, I know that God is going to answer that prayer. I have that faith. Is your hope slipping away? Do not be anxious. Is your hope slipping away? You know, our hope is Jesus. Our hope is in the Lord. So how could it ever slip away? Why, if you're thinking to yourself, yes, my hope is slipping away, I guarantee you what you were thinking about was not the Lord. You were thinking perhaps your finances, your health, perhaps your relationship with another person that you value. And maybe all that's deteriorated. And you're saying, I've prayed, I've looked to God, and yet it continues to go from bad to worse. My hope is slipping away. You put your faith and trust in things. You put your faith and trust in people and not the Lord. Listen to what Jesus says. This is Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so fast of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles, now Gentiles here would be unbelievers, for the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things would be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So I come back and I ask you again, what is most important to you today? If you didn't answer, God, you're the most important thing in my life, then you need to repent and you need to seek God's forgiveness, and then you need to seek God. Because I guarantee you, once you encounter God on the level that he wants to have you know him, there'll be no going back. Well, yeah, you might get lazy, like me. You might get a little flippant sometimes, like me. But you will never, ever be the same. There is a fundamental change in how you think. There is a fundamental change in what you know. It's not what you believe, what you know. I know who my Lord is to me. So, if you're good news, turn to the Lord. Cast your cares on God, who is able to take care of everything that you have problems. Learn to listen to his voice. The Lord makes the impossible possible, and he makes a way when there is no way. Because my Lord, my God, he is a way maker.
worship you. I worship you. You are here working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are
Never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker,
There's always going to be trouble in the world, but there's always going to be hope in the Lord who keeps us strong. There's always going to be joy to journey on. I actually copied that. That's from a song lyric from one of Selah's new songs. I really liked it. There's always going to be trouble in the world, but there's always going to be hope in the Lord who keeps us strong. There's always going to be joy to journey on. Let me ask you a question. Today, when I ask you, who do you love? And no, I'm not going to break down into song, Joey, even though I come to my mind. Who do you love? Who comes first to mind? If I ask you this question, who do you serve? Who comes to mind first? Who do you serve? Who comes to mind first? Jesus, when he was here on the earth, he said that I don't do anything and I don't say anything unless it is the Father in heaven who has given me the command to do and to say. And he tells us that we should do the same, that we should allow our words to be worthy to be spoken, not to be spoken frivolously, spoken without thinking, but to be spoken as God gives us those words. Who do you serve? Who do you love? I think those are probably the things that we all desire to know God more. But let me ask you this last question today. Is knowing God everything to you? Is knowing God everything to you? Because until that day that knowing to know God is everything to you, that you would give up everything to know Him, to hear Him, to feel Him. Well, that's part of the journey, isn't it? You see, Jesus wants us to understand that we put too much emphasis on things of this world. And I'm not talking about being one of these people that's pie in the sky Christians. And what I mean by that is, you know, you got your head in the clouds and, you know, your feet's not on the ground. And all you think about is, you know, how much you love the Lord. But you're not doing anybody else on this earth any good. You see, Jesus came to serve and he was a servant. And he gives us that example. But he also gives us hope. He tells us in Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 7, he says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened." Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? I want to close today on this really simple idea. God desires us to know Him above all other things. You know, it's great that you know whatever you know. And it's great that you have passions about whatever you have passions. That's great. But if it exceeds your knowledge and your passion for God, then you're upside down. Hear me, Christian. You're upside down. God has given us this earth to manage, to steward, to enjoy. and enjoy the things of the earth. He created it for us. And yet, he created us for him. Do you hear me? He created us for him. So unless today you could have answered all these questions with an affirmative, yes, I have a passion and a conviction to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And I'm laying up treasures in heaven because I'm loving my fellow man and I'm helping my fellow man. And I'm not anxious because I trust in the Lord and I know that he is with me always. And I know that there's trouble coming and I'm going to see trouble. But, you know, God puts us in the midst of that trouble so often because that's exactly where we need to be, whether it is to learn something or whether it is to help someone else in the midst of our trouble. Is that not a blessing from God? But we don't see things that way. We see it from our perspective. And people say, well, I'm only human. If you're a Christian, no, you're not only human. That's not true. You're born again. You have the Spirit of God living in you. Is knowing God everything to you? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that today was an opportunity to proclaim your word. And Father, I pray that as your word was received, that people will change, Father. They will change and turn to you. They will change their lives, Father, and desire to know you above all things, above all things. For you, Father, you are our be-all and end-all. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and the end of all things for us, for everyone. So, Father, I desire that as people have listened to this word today, that you change their hearts and you change their minds. You ignite in all your Christian children that fire that they once had when they asked, Lord, save me, a sinner. Help me not to sin anymore. Forgive me of my sin. Father, those days for some of us are long past, and yet the truth remains, you were our way maker and you made a way where there was seemingly no way that we could possibly atone. We could possibly do anything good enough for all the things that we do that's bad. So, Father, ignite our spirit. Ignite our hearts, Father. Set us on fire to proclaim you and you alone through your Son, Jesus Christ, as the way, the truth, and the life. And no man will ever come to you except through your Son, Jesus. All these things I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.